today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
That was a real campaign. Tell me about what did you do for her, first of all?
So we had campaigns in 2018 and 2020. In 2018, okay. I was social media manager. I was in charge of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
TikTok.
Internet.
Michael came into the kitchen this morning and said, "Where are my cluster Lucky Charms?" Aww. And he looked right at me and I went, "Guilty! Guilty!"
You should have said, "I don't know."
A friend of mine, Schmike O'Schmara, said he likes to watch beach volleyball and eat Lucky Charms.
Since 2010, there was a major recasting. Everyone but me from the 2003 cast was replaced. I was honored to be asked to continue.
How did you dodge that bullet? That's pretty incredible.
He's affable. Look at him.
Well, I know that. Affable and laughable.
Affable.
One could say that there was no one better.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
What are you doing?
With Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
It was Pony.
Well, he's under a lot of pressure.
He's very excited.
Yeah.
He's the thinnest one of all of us. If there's anybody, if any microphone should be having that, it's either me or Rob.
But he has no lungs. He has no lungs. They're so tiny. Little lungs.
Oh, my lungs are shot. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Lander, Wyoming. Lander. Welcome to the Lander of Landers. Gulfport, Mississippi. Sandusky, Ohio. Cayucos Beach. You know, I don't need it. Sometimes I look at the pronouncer and it messes me up. Cayucos Beach, California. That's what it was. That's why I have problems with it. I go right to that massive pronouncer that Rob puts. K-Y-E-Y-O-U-M-O-U-S-B-E-E-C-H.
like details.
Like Mike Beach.
Christiansburg, Virginia, and Randers, Denmark. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. We're going to get to our talking head in a second here. I just have to vent a little bit on the whole school thing. We are seven days away from my son popping back into school, and I'm terrified. I'm terrified. I'm not. I could care. This when you really know, you know, when you're an older dad, especially. I don't care about moi. What I care about is him. And we have leadership down here in the form of Governor Ron DeSantis.
Do you put leadership in air quotes?
Yeah. Leadership. Who has been so handsomely rewarded for his pandering to the anti-mask, anti-vaxxing group that he has restricted school systems from mandating masks in school. Now, the entire last year of Michael's school year, when he was in from about, I think, September.
That's about right.
I think we put him back in that early. He was, for somebody on my side, one of these snowflakes, I put my kid back into school because I liked the protocols they had at the school.
Right.
So, now they're saying that they're not allowed to. So, my son, you know, this story about not being able to wear a mask coincides with my son... apparently with this new variant that more kids are getting sick from the new variant, and that freaks my ass out.
Sure.
And look, I guarantee you that the science is not fully determined on the mask issue. I get that. I do the better safe than sorry thing. That's what I do. That's the insurance policy. Mm-hmm. That's what it comes down to.
Sure.
I think ultimately, you know, as far as they clear us for the vaccine for him, bingo bango right away. I'll do that for my son. I will not hesitate one little bit. I believe the vaccines are tested by people smarter than me and know what's going on. But right now, with 7 days away, as I'm looking at school, I have to come to you this morning again and talk about this because it is, I'm so tired of it. I was attacked by an anti-vaxxer a week ago. I didn't see it until last night. This dipshit who was just so... angry.
Yes.
And this is an issue I don't choose to crawl into a smaller brain. I don't want to do it. I realize this guy loves his conspiracies and all that, but
it's
don't need
religion or politics, or is it both? You tell me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I believe that people, you would know maybe better than I, Oscar, about people who frequent these conspiracy-based websites that don't have a lot of science. You know, by the way, I'm lumped into the mainstream media. That's what I'm lumped into.
Sure.
Even though at one particular point, an anti-vaxxer was labeling six outlets, you know, where you've got CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, MSNBC. That's the there's some name for them. They have the big six or whatever. It's terrifying. It's terrifying because we're not talking about ideology here. We're talking about people's lives. And we are down here in the epicenter right now with more hospitalizations than we've gotten. The deaths are not where we were. Thank God for that. I am hoping that continues because I think they have perhaps figured out ways to treat it a little bit better. But having a little one who I'm sending off to school not 7 days from now,
horrifying,
is freaking my ass out.
There is, and Mike, I appreciate you saying the kind words you just said about my knowledge base, but I'm following the science as much as anyone that, you know,
believes. No, I'm just saying the people you know that might.
They live on both sides.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That, in my opinion, is not, it's, and this is going to be, and this is not for everybody. It's not a blanket statement. The people that are rooted, that I know personally, in this anti-vax science, are using politics as an excuse to gain more attention. Because it's not about being a contrarian. It's really about something else that it's rooted deeper inside of them, where I don't know if it's racism. I don't know if it's hatred. I don't know if it's, you know, fine, let the weak survive, let the weak die and the strong survive.
Fin the herd type mentality.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but it's not rooted in what we like to believe that is a true human condition of, you know, let's help our neighbor out, let's help our brother
and
out.
And nor is it rooted in science or fact. There's no fact. There's nothing that they can bring to the table that backs up with any sort of substantial
especially
knowledge.
Especially now.
Now more than ever. Yeah, we've been at this
long time. It's not like this is new and we're talking about March 2020. We're like, I wonder what's going to happen.
Right.
It's the Chinese. No.
Yeah.
Enough of that. It's here.
I just remember, wasn't it a short time ago we were all excited because we got a vaccine and everything was going to be all right.
Right.
And then
yeah.
Blah, blah,
How
blah.
How am I ever going to be able to check out the district of bars where ladies now probably have to wear masks to dance?
Right.
That's shelved.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
There's nothing so sexy
about dancing with a mask on.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just so...
It's frustrating. It really is.
Do I put my dollar bills between the string of the mask or the string down below?
Make sure the dollar bill covers your nose.
I vented. Okay. I'm not going to continue because I'll depress my audience like I'm depressed myself. I just wish that I didn't live in... I wish I didn't live in a state where this had to be a thing.
Can he go to school with a mask... Or will he be?
No, he can wear a mask. He will wear a mask all day.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
And don't you think
that is my prerogative? I'm going to meet his teacher tonight, and pepper her with questions. Remember, I talked about on the show yesterday, mm-hmm. the local news down here. You know, should you know whether your son's daughter's teacher has been vaccinated? Well, the answer is, well, I'll sure as hell try to know tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And if I don't get the correct answer, I'm going to escalate it. Sorry.
Yep. Don't you think the plurality of the kids in the class will be masked up, even though it's not mandated?
Yes, most definitely.
I think so.
I'm counting on that.
Yeah.
Mike, let's pretend that this is not a COVID scenario. If it was a flu outbreak, people would be keeping their kids at home.
I don't know where it all came from, and I don't know where we went wrong. And I don't know what history is going to say about us when we're all gone. But
are you wearing a mask on a regular basis now?
Yeah. When I go out in public, I when I go into the store, I don't go out that often, to be honest with you. And when I'm out, I'm, doing what I do. I'm not wearing a mask on the golf course, but that's about it.
The District of Columbia,
And everybody that I, you know, hang out with is, you know, it's funny I say that, but do I know for 100% sure that everybody, I just assume they're all old.
Yes.
So they're all vaccinated.
They're also
so.
Probably, you know.
And politically, the people that I play with were all, you know, there were notable, very vocal exceptions at the old place I used to hang out.
I remember that.
May I add just the overall psychology thing? We've been talking about this for almost a week now since we've gone to a mask policy.
Mm-hmm.
Just driving into the city in the morning, it's different racing to do a show than racing to get into your office.
Yeah.
Because we're recording now at 9 a.m. because Mike has some stuff to do in the afternoon.
We have the flexibility to do
family,
so.
Doctor's appointment.
Doctors.
TikTok.
Internet.
And just a week ago at 9 a.m., there was traffic. Now, ghost town.
Yep.
Oh, strange times.
Yeah.
I Oscar said when we talked about this, I think last week, Oscar says he thinks maybe 2 months down the road. I really hope so.
Four months. I got to call out how I feel.
Maybe my kid's going to school after Christmas.
Mm. Could be.
Homeschooling.
Maybe he is, you know.
The art of mimicry.
Mike O'Mara's Impressionist Camp. Let's get our guest in here.
Okay.
Michael B. Pollack is a 56-year-old American voice actor and former radio personality. Hey, one of us. Best known as the current voice of Dr. Eggman in the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise. Oh, I'm so jealous.
You're going to like this guy. This is fun.
As well as many characters in various anime, English language dubs and video games. He lives in Hackensack, New Jersey with his wife, Janine. They've been married since 1999, and they have two kids, a boy child, Reese, 19, and a girl child, Bronwyn. That's a beautiful
Lovely.
Name. He has been a listener since the WNEW days, 22 years, and started as a P1 podcast listener since the episode where Oscar slapped a cactus. He became a fan of the show while preparing mindless copy and show prep drivel for WinStar before it was absorbed by iHeartRadio. Eventually, there were firings, suspensions, and radio kicked him to the curb. Hey, I know how that feels.
Sure.
And after submitting a demo on a cassette, he got his big break in a Pokemon project. That is so cool.
Yeah.
He considers Mike O'Mara as an inspiration and credits him for doing the voices that no one else does. Well, that's nice. Harry Morgan. Hi, Harry Morgan. Yeah, Radar. I might do an old dead celebrity from MASH, but I don't have a current hedgehog gig. Pollack marvels and is inspired by the way I can bounce in and out of character. Plus, Mr. Pollack is responsible for some of the greatest promos in the TMOS canon.
Yeah.
We have clips.
Yes, I have a montage I've prepared.
This man might be a Hall of Fame guy.
He has been the voice of Dr. Eggman for over 18 years and is a regular attraction at anime conventions. His VO credits are too numerous to mention. He is a bonus show subscriber, and he also invented the world's first custom podcast.
Mm.
Plus, he has a wonderful Andy Williams story. Oh, wow. Intrigued? You should be. And now here's Mr. Mike Pollack. Mike, how are you?
Woo! Mike O'Mara Show just went live. I want to see this. I'm kidding.
How are you? That is so cool that you are Dr. Eggman in the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise.
There he is.
Can you, for those of you that might not, for the oldsters that might not have kids, can you lay a little on us right there?
Sure. I'm Dr. Eggman. I hate that hedgehog.
See, on command, on cue. That's the tell right there. Mike, thank you so much for coming on the show. Looks like you're in your bunker studio there, right?
I got my RE20 fired up.
Oh, there you go. We all use RE20s. All the real pros use RE20s.
Yeah,
that's the way
all the guys with
it
D's.
Works.
What's the matter with you?
So, how you've been doing the cartoon voices for when you started doing the Sonic stuff or any of your VO work? Do you have an agent? Because most of you guys that do that are pretty well represented, right?
I freelance with people, so I'm not tied down to one agent. I got several agents, several managers, and I book direct as well.
Mm.
So, I am the ultimate freelancer.
I am the ultimate failed freelancer.
Give it time.
Dude Walker, our big voice guy, who does like a million different projects, and dude says, there's a process, and my level of ambition in radio was spectacular. My level of ambition in voiceover work has waned over the years, but I think it's really, would it be safe to say, because there are a lot of people, Mike, that will check in with us periodically, send us messages that say something along the, how do I do this? How do I get into it? And with these websites now, like Voice123 and places like that, there are 30,000 people that are, anybody that does it, they're out for every different gig that comes by. You got to hustle now, right? To get voiceover work, you got to really be connected and know how to hustle. Is that correct?
The work is looking for work. The work is easy, but to get the work, that's the work. I audition constantly. And if I'm lucky, I'll book a very small percentage of the things I audition for. But the things I book are precious gifts.
Do you use any of those massive websites for stuff? Because, I mean, I gave up a long time ago.
Not anymore. They're not fair to the talent. They take a bigger cut than they should. So either find a decent agent or manager, I can hook you up, or just go direct. But I have networking has helped a lot. So a lot of the work is repeat business from clients I've worked with before.
But you have to make friends, right, Mike? Pollock, not Mike O'Mara. So you have to make friends in
Mike has to make friends, too.
Well, that's something he would have to do and foster an alliance of sorts. Like, hey, I got this gig, but I'm booked for this gig. What are you doing? How do you do that? Can you teach Mike that?
It's networking. It's I work a lot more alone than
Excuse me just a second, Mike. Let me interrupt you. F*** you, Oscar.
Didn't think it would go this direction this quickly.
Sorry about that.
Kind of knew it would, but not that fast.
I've even enlisted the guy. I even have a team, Mike. I've enlisted them. They burn out. You know,
I'll send you leads. I mean, if there's a character that I know you could do, I'll send it your way.
I'd love to. I haven't done them to me,
and I will send them to Mike.
Well, here's the deal. Yes.
Go ahead, Mike.
I'll send them, but you have to pick up and meet us halfway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you're willing to play.
I'm willing to play. I love the work. That's why I'm dwelling on this right now. What are you laughing at, boys? What are you laughing at?
I'm going to let Rob take this
one. I think it's just nice that Mike Pollock's advice to you is you have to be willing to play.
Well, it's true.
Meet us halfway.
You know what? There are a lot of things where they've slipped through the cracks with me. I love, as Mike just said, the work is finding the work.
True.
And that's the work that I probably don't put in as much as I should. I love doing the work. Don't get me wrong. I love it. As a matter of fact, some of the stuff I've done is, especially normal stuff, where it's just like a real narration, is some of the most satisfying work I've ever done. Of course, yes, go ahead.
There are national podcasts with your voice on the front of them.
That's true. That's
like
true.
And you do them like, for me, Mike Pollock, this is my methodology. I hope he's in a good mood today because I got to ask him to voice this. If you can voice this, that'd be great. Mike, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but if you could do this real quick, and then maybe we'll do it. He'll one take. He's got
that's it.
Boom, done.
But Mike does them in one take because that's the way it goes. Yeah. The work is so much, so satisfying to do that. The idea of, and the idea of, when I'm talking to Mike Pollock, and we'll get off this, okay? This is my own trip, and I apologize if I'm dwelling on it.
Yeah.
But the idea of a lead role in a mainstream cartoon project for that length of time is just, it gets me excited because it's something I've done just teeny bits of animation in my career, and most of them 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So the idea of doing it is just very cool to me, and it's fun. Do you mind talking about the process of the Hedgehog voice when you do Sonic the Hedgehog? How does that work? Do you travel? Because most of these big ones, do you have to travel out to L.A. or New York City to do this stuff?
When it started, it was all New York based. So I was in New York or in the New York suburbs. I would hop on a bus and I'd be in New York City in about 20 minutes. These days, since 2010, there was a major recasting. Everyone but me from the 2003 cast was replaced. I was honored to be asked to
continue.
How
did you dodge that bullet? That's pretty incredible.
He's affable. Look at him.
Well, I know that. Affable and laughable.
Affable.
One could say that there was no one better.
Yes!
They invited me back, and yes! I don't question it, but the results speak for themselves. So that's been done in L.A. Most of the time, I'll be hooked up on the internet. I'm in New York. They're in L.A. We're all interacting together, either on headphones or we're recording games separately. And occasionally, the business junk it out to L.A., where we get to record all together.
Now, when you record it all together, that has to be, I would imagine, a very, very fun, like doing a radio play, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's exactly what it's like. Wow.
That's exactly what we call them when we record the live tracks for the cartoon. It's a radio play. And it was tremendous.
So much fun. So you started listening to us when we were on WNEW, mm-hmm. and you like the obscure voices that have been done. Voice work is so very, very cool. Radio is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I mean, would you not agree, Mike?
I remember it well. I've been fired and suspended more times than I'd care to recount, but I'd be happy to.
All right, I gotta get to it, even though it's the last thing you mentioned here. Please tell us your Andy Williams story, because sure. For the oldsters like me out there, you know, Andy Williams, it's the most wonderful
don't
time
read ahead, Mike.
Of the year. All right, lay it on us, sir.
All right, well, as part of my personal podcast thing that I was that Rob was mentioning, I make custom podcasts because we love show tunes. We especially love British show tunes, and there are a bunch of British radio shows that don't have podcasts. I make my own. I cut them, I trim them so they have nice start and end times. I make sure all the songs are time coded so the title shows up in the car. And we were listening to one such tune on our trip to Orlando. We just got off the auto train. The car needed gas. My wife was driving. I was navigating, minding the ways. And we programmed in a gasoline stop. And as we were driving, it was across the road. And there was some discussion about whether it'd be better to turn left across traffic and head in from the same road or turn left at the corner and come in from the side street on the intersection. And that turned into some major bickering, as you do. And as we were debating where to turn, my peripheral hearing caught a little familiar refrain, and I couldn't help but talk up the arguing and arguing right up to the vocal.
It's the most.
He wanted to do that.
Mike, while we're talking production, I did put together a brief montage of some of the promos.
This is the Mike Pollock reel?
This is a reel, and I can send this. If you need work, Mike, I can send this back to you, and you can send it around. But these go way back, and you'll remember all of them, and they are all fantastic. So now, the best. Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Pollock.
Come and get your cocktail party. Come along,
that's
my
him.
Little ones.
Oh, that's
Treacle
so brilliant.
Tarts.
Treacle tarts and ice cream.
Captain Mike,
fan of Jack Cassidy, banter and quips.
Well, I'm lucky.
Like saying S-A-D and sometimes replacing his hips.
Hello, I'm Old Man Eyebrows, and she's Kathleen Tyner.
I am really glad to be back here.
Hi, Larry. I'm just telling people about cake and cookies. It stars Rob Spiewak and Katie Von Herman and...
I can never eat snails.
Thanks, Larry, but I don't know that that's really relevant.
Tomatoes are good, but they have to be red.
Great, Larry. Mike O'Mara, listen to him swear. Rob the Spiewak, his jokes are gonna be whack. Oscar Santana, a savvy businessman.
Oh, they're busting balls and they're taking calls and impressions fire away. Santana likes to keep it tight and flaunt his MBA. And Spiewak will be cracking all of his punch and the groaners will start to flow. A credit to the morn at work is Mike O'Mara's show.
Who would have thought TMOS could ship a cake to my address? Cause I'd have said it couldn't be done. But it can be done. So fine. Thanks to a
it's one of the greatest of all time right there, my keep him coming, pal.
Dear Casey, recently there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Beluga, but it was most certainly a part of Let's Cut Start Again. I'm coming out of the record. Play the record, please.
Concept,
and I also want to know what happened to the Mike O'Mara bonus show subscription I was supposed to see this week.
Helpless and their disparity, just give a little charity. You can help preserve GMOs.
Have you let all these on, Rob Spiewak?
The only one I think I might have tabled was Beluga because Oscar and I decided it was
too soon.
Too soon. Too soon. Too soon. So that was...
it's funny now.
It is very funny now. We close with the auctioneer, and that's just a taste of what he has provided with us.
Oh, keep him coming. That's so cool. Great. Oh, that is truly, truly awesome. I love that.
There was
that.
Also really little did. Michael talking up Chicago.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember that too as well.
Oh, no,
Mike,
my
if,
God.
Mike, if any of your promos don't get on outside of the dead dog story, please send them to me because they could. I don't want them being lost in the mail somehow.
I made you a fresh one.
Yeah. There's a new one that debuts during today's show, as a matter of fact.
That is very, very, very exciting. I want to ask you about your custom podcast. So you, I'm not sure I'm tracking with how did the pod you're involved in these podcasts that you do. These are yours. What are you? Because it says you invented the world's first custom podcast. That to me sounds like you invented the internet. What's going on
TikTok.
Here?
TikTok.
I have a long and storied history. The only actual podcasting that anyone has heard that I've been involved with was a Jewish trivia show, which is a story for another time. But I was the podcaster for that. That's not what we're talking about.
Was that behind the paywall?
Rob. That it robs
me. I can get you a deal. and I am currently a semi-bootleg podcast for the Census Bureau's Profile America feature, which is a public domain thing. They don't have a podcast. I made one because I wanted one, and it's shared with the world. You can find it. But the ones I do are British show tune radio shows for my wife. We love to time shift because nothing's
on
conveniently.
It's
so you
them.
Just make
it's
it private. For your narrowcasting. Yeah.
I record them, then they are on real podcast feeds. They show up in my podcast player, but it's a private feed. So unless you're me or unless I tell you about it, you'll never find them. But
and I realize, as I promised to our audience yesterday, and I got some really, really good requests for show tunes.
Oh,
and
good.
Of course, I didn't do one yet. So, you know. Oh, she doesn't like those? She doesn't like it. You mean like the one where I did Sunrise, Sunset and all that? Is she a purist? Is she a Broadway purist?
We are old theater people. She has toured in numerous shows and she's appeared on her own on stage. Wow. We met on stage. She's not. She doesn't.
She's not. But she listens to the other parts of the show, maybe? Is that true?
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay. We love the slice of life venting. We love that because we live that. But I'll tell a story out of school. She'll be listening to this and she'll forgive me in advance.
What's your wife's first name?
Janine. Her brother.
All right, hold on. Let me say hello to her since she doesn't please. Like the show tunes. Hi. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, dear.
Yes,
wow.
Well,
dripping
my wife
attitude.
Who swore I never remember her in my will. Hello, Janine. her brother, Richard Warren Pugh, was in the original Broadway cast of Phantom of the Opera. And one of my radio friends, my morning show guy at the time, Glenn Gomez Adams in Syracuse, said, can you get me tickets? I want to go see the show. And what he wanted to do was when the chandelier comes down where the Phantom would yell, go!
Yes.
Gomez wanted to yell, wanted the Phantom to yell, go! Gomez! I asked my wife if she could get her brother to make that happen. She said, no.
So she's right. Actually been in these things. She must have a very good singing voice, right?
Oh, yes. Lovely. Lovely.
That's, are you saying that Mike doesn't have a good singing voice? Or you
no,
don't
she's
like
just,
Mike
she does. She probably doesn't like me kind of hacking it up a little bit.
I think
you know, that's what it is.
I think
you know?
I'm the parody person. And when I was writing show prep, I wrote over 1,000 song parodies. Not proud of it. but I am the parody guy. She appreciates them, but not to the same degree.
I see.
I get it. I understand that. And what's your all-time go-to? I mean, since we're on the
cats,
you know, Robin, my favorite. What's your cats? Don't say.
Oh,
please don't
shows?
Say cats.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's an obscure Richard Rodgers last show. I Remember Mama.
I Remember Mama was a musical.
It was a musical based on the stage play and based on the books And there's a CD available, a studio cast starring Sally Ann Howes, who was from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. She played Truly Scrumptious, not in I Remember Mama, but it's a delightful little show. It's written by music by Richard Rodgers and lyrics by Martin Charnin of Anything.
Is and Richard Rodgers the absolute
Rodgers and Hammerstein. Yeah.
Did they ever
do a revival, or was it just the one run for that show?
It was on stage for like a day and a half.
Wow, it's so weird.
As a Broadway person who loves it, where are we now with Broadway? I haven't even paid attention. I haven't read a story about it in a long time. Where are we? Is it coming back?
The first play has reopened. Passover has just opened. And then all the other shows are starting, I think, in October, the musicals.
I understand they're bringing back Phantom of the Opera, but everybody's wearing a mask.
Yes. And his will be a full face. Shield and everything.
It was COVID-friendly.
It was, yeah.
It'll be very good.
All right, hold on a second. Let me just see.
Here we go.
Hey, get Buckle Janine. Up. Go get Janine. Buckle I up. Think something good's about to happen.
Honey! You can't come in. The recording sign is on.
Say you love me.
All right, no, I'm sorry.
My brother-in-law is rolling around in his.
I don't know the Phantom. I don't even know.
Good. Music of the night.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good that I don't know that. Well, listen, I love the fact that you do what you do, and please, I love your stuff, and I really wish that we'd given you proper credit on that, but it's him.
Accepting a friend request.
It's a okay. What? Oh,
oh, wait, oh, no. Oh
hold on.
Hello.
All right. Hold on a second. I do that
I'm
when I'm
full.
Asked.
I'm full, so I'd have to. I'd
oh,
have to
you're full.
Else.
Oh, you're yeah. full.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna play right. this well, game.
He's famous, Mike.
Well, I'll send you a request. I'll send you. Hold yeah, on. Well, I'll send you a request.
Somebody. But you know what?
That's easy. That's easy after last night. I didn't. Hold on.
Don't you feel that after this conversation, you don't need Facebook? That you're actually real life friends.
Yes. When can I stop by? we'll be in Orlando again. It's just a trip across the state. It'll
be fine. Bring all coffee. Right. It'll be nice.
There
and,
are.
And I'll stop and see Rob and Oscar on the way down to the auto.
Anytime.
Anytime.
You know, the really good thing is there are not a lot of Mike Pollocks online.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. My.
There's a bonsai tree specialist. He's not me.
I'll find you. You don't live
You've
in
got
Brooklyn.
A request pending, actually, so look through your requests.
Okay, very good. All right, I'll do it. Anybody you want to say hello to before we let you go, sir?
My lovely wife and kids, thank you for putting up with me. The TMS fans, thank you for not tuning out when my promos come on. And my online fans, thank you for listening to and watching my silly voices.
Oh.
And for Janine, let me just say this. Hold on. Is this the little boy I carry?
Girl, it's girl. Get the lyrics right.
That's what it is. That's what she hates, right?
Yeah.
Is this the little koala I carry?
When we listen back to this, she'll be punching me in the arms so hard.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. She'll give me such a pinch.
Well, you rock, and we will all watch you on the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise. Mike Pollock, you're a good guy. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Little Michael is the perfect age to watch Sonic Boom, which is streaming on a streaming service near you.
Sonic Boom will be in the Sonic house Boom. Tonight. I promise Please. You that. You rock. Thank you very much.
Thank
and Janine,
you, Michael,
I love you. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Rob Speedwagon.
We're dog sitting my favorite dog, Luna, the 165-pound bull mastiff. Apparently, Luna had a nervous stomach, and there is a massive pile in our living room. You know, it's not bad getting it off the wood. Getting it off the carpet, that's like getting pudding out of grass.
Oh, my.
Oh, no!
And I really do have to say, your buddy Rob Speedwagon is the biggest pain in the ass I've ever had.
Rob had his way.
Yes.
He would wear, for anybody that's familiar with Yeehaw, he would wear a Junior Samples outfit, which would be overalls and a t-shirt.
Don't miss Rob Spiewak and the Digital Dumpster only on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. This portion of the program brought to you by Tommy John. This summer, make some climate change in your pants.
Yes, pants.
Apollo is Tommy John's newest and most advanced men's underwear yet. With a performance-grade dry-release fabric blend that is exclusive to Tommy John. It's Tommy John's latest comfort innovation, and you can't get it anywhere else. Apollo men's underwear is proven to keep you drier and up to 7 degrees cooler than regular cotton underwear.
Cotton.
That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Apollo underwear is soft, supportive stretches for the perfect fit every day and is available up to size 4XL. With over 15 million pairs sold, men across America love Tommy John underwear because there's no more flopping, sticking, or chafing. All I know is that when I wear them, the weather is always perfect in my pants.
No flopping.
And like all Tommy John underwear, Apollo comes with the best pair you'll ever wear or it's free guarantee. Tommy John's new Apollo men's underwear is high-end for your rear end, and you can't get them anywhere else. Mm. Right now, get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/TMOS. Go to TommyJohn.com/TMOS for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/TMOS. See the site for details.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
Yes, it is. And speaking of Tommy John, perfect segue for this right now, because it is National Underwear Day.
But isn't every day Underwear Day?
Should be.
No. Yeah. This is a very special day, Rob. It is National Underwear Day. And a recent survey looked into how often we change our underwear. Spoiler alert, not everyone changes them every day.
Pony.
Only 68% of Americans say they usually wear a pair once and then wash them. That's a confusing sentence because, you know, if you have multiple pairs of underwear, you probably put them in the hamper and then you wash them. And anywho.
You do a load, Mike.
What about turning them inside out for the next day?
No, don't do that. I've switched recently, though. I've switched to all white boxers down here because I wear a lot of light fabrics and sometimes colored underwear, brightly colored underwear, shows through the thin,
too much personality.
Athletic fabrics.
Well, why don't you continue to wear the colored underwear as a treat for the ladies?
Ooh.
Look at Mike in his bright red briefs.
13% said twice. They wear a pair twice. 6% said 3 to 5 times.
Five times?
That would be a stink factor. Ugh. 3% said 6 times or more without washing.
Like
if you're a guy and you're like hanging out and you don't need to, do a job that requires perfect hygiene, maybe. Another 10%, I love these people, weren't sure.
I don't know. They wash their underwear in Brondo, Mike.
Brondo.
Those are the idiots.
They are the idiots. Yeah.
I don't know. 48% of Americans say they've never worn the same underwear more than once, and I believe that's a lie.
Yeah.
I think anyone that would say that would be lying.
Especially
through their
in our
teeth.
College years.
Although Jerry Lewis only wore socks once.
Well, that was his thing.
That was his
thing. And that was also a showbiz lie. That he liked to put that out there.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right. Because
absolutely.
We had people that went to his auction, and there weren't all that many socks.
Yeah, and they probably, I saw a pair of holes. anyway, Rob Spiewak got this one for you. We have learned when we can expect to see Mel Brooks' memoir, Ballantine Books. That's the publisher, I guess?
Yeah.
It's an imprint of Random House. Yeah, so it's his publisher. They've acquired the memoir, which is set for publication for November. All About Me. I love Mel Brooks. It's just funny. All About Me, My Remarkable Life in Show Business, is set to take a look at the iconic director's life. And according to Deadline, Brooks has also recorded an audiobook version that will be released simultaneously by Penguin Random House Audio. So that's coming up. So
I refuse to comment because of my track history of mentioning people.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why? Is he doing okay? Or you know what? We're going to stop. I don't want that. I don't want to be anywhere near that.
Thank you.
Speaking of people that are on the other side, or going towards the other side.
Headed there.
Boy, I'm so angry. Rolling Stones drummer Charlie Watts is dropping out of the band's upcoming tour. It has nothing to do with COVID as far as we know. Charlie had an unspecified medical procedure And while it was successful, he'll need time to recuperate, and he doesn't want the band to postpone the tour for him, especially since it was already delayed by the pandemic. Steve Jordan from Keith Richards' side project will take his place.
Steve Jordan's a good drummer. He is a good drummer, but also to me, this marks the end of the Rolling Stones for me. Because
it might be, well, he's 80.
Oh, I know, so, but also, I mean, I think the medical procedure might have been a personality transplant, because if you've ever seen Charlie Watts play the drums, that's what it looks like.
Well, he's completely, he's just a stone face behind the kit.
He doesn't like rock and roll. He likes jazz. He does the rock and roll because he's been with the Stones for so long.
He's 80 years old. Yeah. But might just not feel like going out on tour.
But when Bill Wyman left, that was okay by me. But I think I think this really does mark the end of the band. I do.
You know something? I'm 62 years old. When I'm done playing golf and doing a radio program, throw an Afghan on me and check with a mirror to see if I'm still breathing. Okay? Charlie can bag it if he's 80 years old. And, who knows? I mean, these guys, I remember when they were my age. And they were going out on tour again, and people were making age jokes back then.
They made the joke steel wheelchairs when they had the steel wheelchair. That was 1989. That's
right.
32 years ago.
32 years ago. It's amazing. It really is. So the rest of them are still heading out there. Keith Richards.
God.
We never die. We're still a month and a half from fall, but... Well, there's something to look forward to. Ooh,
what's that?
Now we're going to be not going a week without one of these stories. Someone decided pumpkin spice ramen is a thing people might want. Cup noodles. It says cup noodles. Is it cup of noodles?
Cup o noodles. The Irish version is cup o noodles.
Cup o noodles. Cup o noodles just announced they're selling a new pumpkin spice flavor this fall. It'll be available nationwide at Walmart beginning in October.
I think this needs a John Tesh read.
Cup of Noodles just announced they're selling a new pumpkin spice flavor this fall.
Yum.
It'll be available nationwide at Walmart beginning in October. Intelligence for your life. Brondo, I'm John Tesh, and Brondo has what plants crave. It has electrolytes. Intelligence for your life. The reaction online are mixed. People who fit into that pumpkin ramen Venn diagram are amped about it. Everyone else is wondering where the ceiling is on these pumpkin spice products. Mm. I think we got bigger fish to fry, people.
Yes.
Than arguing about
that. Remember, pumpkin has no flavor. What you're tasting is cinnamon and nutmeg, so go f*** yourself.
There you go. Thank you very much. A lot of edits in the show today. Nice. All right, there's a thing online also regarding food about frozen honey. Have you seen this?
No.
Where you freeze your honey? Where's the honey? All right. There's a frozen honey trend. You freeze the honey, then you squeeze it out, and it's kind of like a chewy candy consistency.
Okay.
Yeah. It's big on TikTok.
Hey, internet. Right.
That's where you freeze some honey in a water bottle so you can snack on it and take bites. But you might not want to try it. This is making me very happy because it's giving people diarrhea.
Yes.
A dietitian at the Cleveland Clinic talked about it, said because of the sheer amount of honey people are eating and because of something called fructose malabsorption.
Oh, dear.
One in three of us have an intolerance to fructose, and honey is 40% fructose.
Yeah.
So eating too much of it too fast can cause bloating, cramping, and really bad diarrhea.
That'll get you. The worst.
Every day.
Bobby Goldsboro.
See the tree, how big it's grown.
You nailed it.
Friend, thank you.
It hasn't been too long.
Now we got to play it to the hook. Turn it up a little bit,
this
Rob.
This is beautiful.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bobby Goldsboro.
I laughed at her and she got mad. The first day that she planted it was just a twig.
Diarrhea.
Bloating.
Then the first snow came and she ran out to brush the snow away. So it wouldn't die.
TikTok.
TikTok.
Came running in, all excited.
Yes.
Slipped and almost hurt herself. And I laughed till I cried.
Oh, Bobby.
Bob Evans.
She was always young at heart.
Yep.
Kinda dumb and
she liked to fart.
And I loved her so.
Loved her so. Boy, could she.
And I surprised her with a puppy. Kept me up all Christmas Eve.
Sweater puppies.
When's the honey part?
Maybe. And it would sure
Jesus, I know. I'm sorry, you lose, Bobby Goldsboro. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And the lyric is,
and honey, I miss you, and I'm doing well.
All right. And I know, sorry, Mike Pollock, you gave me a complex about that.
It's not anyway. Him, it's Janine.
It's Janine.
So,
Janine.
I got to turn that off.
TikTok.
Internet.
The frozen honey intolerance can cause diarrhea. So you got that. TikTok.
Internet.
That's going for you. Right there. All right. Rob mentioned this briefly before the show started today. The Washington football team is taking yet another step toward distancing itself from the controversial past. Now banning fans from wearing Native American-inspired headdresses and face paint at its stadium. The team made the announcement in an email to Washington football team fans on Wednesday, explaining the once popular fan attire will now no longer be accepted at home games. We're excited to welcome everyone back wearing their burgundy and gold. How about a name?
No name. No name.
Well,
no
they
name,
finally wrangled the power away from Dan. His wife is in charge now. So,
his wife, Janine?
Really?
Yeah. Not Janine.
Janine Schneider?
No.
Karen.
Karen!
So, no headdresses, no face paint, no Chief Z. He's dead anyway.
Yeah,
so,
I'm glad, you know, I'm sorry. I'm glad Chief Z isn't around for this. That. Yeah, that he was stink. A very, very nice man.
Very sad.
They're also bringing back tailgating, Mike. You're allowed to tailgate now.
Yeah, get ass face before you go into the
we
stadium.
We are, proudly, the Washington football team, the drunkest parking lot in the NFL.
Yep.
Proven year after year. So good. So
and
fine.
Honey, I miss you, and you're vomiting on the concourse.
Do you want some more honey, Bobby?
I went to the game with a 12-pack of Bud. I puked in the lot and stubbed my toe, and the Redskins lost. Oh, sorry, the Washington football team.
This is a true story.
Sorry about that. And now a little something, something. Police in Spartanburg, South Carolina are looking for a man who's been using a clever scheme to steal money from the drop boxes outside apartment buildings and property management companies over the past few days. He's taking sticky paper mouse traps, tying a string around them and lowering them into the boxes to steal cash, checks, and money orders. So it's a little like the claw crane machine at the arcade,
yeah.
Only all the paper stuff sticks to it. At one location, he repeatedly snagged a whopping... At one location, he reportedly, not repeatedly,
yeah.
He reportedly got 50 checks and money orders.
Wow.
Although the total dollar amount was not disclosed, and they didn't let us know how many he got because of the mouse traps. Police reportedly are having no luck finding the man by placing random pieces of cheese in different locations. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. That's it. I'm on a real theme with those stupid kicker lines, but I can't help myself. Honey, I miss you. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got lots to talk about. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah, TikTok.
It's written on a paper right over here. Yeah. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, all right, all right. It's me, Matthew McConaughey. What's up? I'm just chilling, having a cold one, and getting ready to run for governor of Texas. I live in Austin. All right. I know that everything this dude needs for a great campaign is available at the TMOS Shopping Center. Flags, bunting, yard signs,
bunting.
Buttons, also bongos, shell necklaces, body oils, water pipes, but no shirts. All right. So don't forget to shop Target and Walmart at MikeOMaraShow.com. Come in the booth. Vote Matt. It's where it's at. I'll run the state smoother than a Texas drawbridge. And if you want to know my platform, I am remarkably centrist because you don't want your government to be all right, all right, all right. Thank you, Matthew. Appreciate that. Hey, when it comes to losing weight, there's a lot of pressure to label foods good or bad, but that just creates dilemmas. Let me tell you about Noom. Noom is here to change how we see food with a psychology-based approach that looks not only at what you eat, but also how you eat. Instead of making you feel guilty or regretting your choices, Noom empowers you to keep going, move forward. Everybody's journey is different. So Noom customizes a program for you based on your personal goals. Here's what I love. I love that no food is totally off limits. If you have an off day, relax. Noom gently helps you get back on track. Noom only asks for 10 minutes of your day to teach you about your eating habits and check in on your progress. And if you doubt me, more than 80% of users complete the program, more than 60% of users lose 5% or more of the body weight, and 60% of them...
60.
keep the weight off for a year or more. One size does not fit all. Choose your goals, and Noom will personalize a weight loss program for you. You're going to love Noom. I promise you. Give it a try. You owe it to yourself. Oscar loves it. Carla loves it. There's a science to getting healthier. It's called Noom. Start building better habits for healthier long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/TMOS. That's Noom.com/TMOS. And we thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Is Dan O'Brien standing by any chance?
I literally looked at Dan and I said, get me a beverage. And it takes him a while for him to get me a beverage.
Oh, well, he takes a long time.
He's got a bad foot.
Hey, I want to say give a shout out to Mr. Steve Bridges at our affiliate KCJJ in Iowa City, Iowa, the radio station that values us for many, many years. How long have we been on KCJJ? Do you have any idea?
Yeah,
how long
I can put it at about 1997 or 8, I believe.
Wow.
Back to the old that show. Certainly, yeah.
That is a hell of a run.
And also, he was not only one of the first affiliates to pick us up, he was the last affiliate to carry us while we were in our terrestrial run. He insisted, he said,
any form, I'll take the show in any form. Yeah,
but before we even announced we were doing a podcast, he says, whatever your next thing is, we'll put it on. That's what he said.
It was really cool, and he's honored that, and we're very, very happy
he's
about
a good man.
That. And
yeah.
He's a very,
loves
very good man.
Loves cats and dogs.
And he does.
I only mentioned that because I see it on his feed all the time.
I called him, and he said to me, internet, TikTok. So he's a good guy, and we love him.
So I will share with you an exchange I had with Mr. Bridges that happened around midnight last night. And this is just interesting
midnight?
To me. Midnight. I'm up late. I went to bed and then got back up because I've got a doctor's appointment tonight,
right.
And I hate doctors.
Yeah,
and
doctors.
It just discombobulates me. My normal day would be, with my mates swinging at that little white egg.
Sure.
And instead, it's been horribly disrupted so that I can go see my physician, Dr. Jason. By the way, it's Jason Voorhees. For those of you that want to know,
are you okay with a doctor that uses their first name with the doctor prefix?
I use that because I don't want to use his last name.
I understand.
You dummy.
Well, I'm just making sure he doesn't refer to himself like that.
That's what I'm doing.
Because I don't like when people are like, it's like, hey, it's Dr. Rob.
For pediatricians, I think it's okay. We had a Dr. Tony for Michael for a long period of time.
Hey, but, come on in.
It's just medically,
Formal. Are you Mr. O'Mara? Are you, hi, Mike?
I don't know. It's like, we know each other so well because he's been my doctor for so many years now that he's just, the relationships with me outside of the radio biz and you guys, because we have a different relationship. Long-term relationships with me are usually predicated, and I think, Oscar, you could probably back me up on this, are predicated on very little BS.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And Andrew, my guy, is zero BS. There's just nothing.
I dread
when Andrew calls because it's going to be something horrible.
It's either good
and then
news
when it's something,
or bad news. That's
and when it's
it
something
is.
Good, it's always very special. With my doctor, it's the same way. Mm-hmm. There's just no, he's just gives it
I
to
like
me
that.
Straight. He doesn't get preachy. He's just a roll with it kind of guy. And that's what I like. And that's why I keep going back to him. So the reason I probably am not doing cartwheels that if he's going to tell me to eat right, exercise right, do all the things he's going to tell me to do, I know that's coming. And I know that in my mind, leading up to this particular day, I have been, I've been enjoying my summer of the pandemic, where I've
been
chilling.
Bad boy.
I've been a bad boy. I was a bad boy, even including last night, where Michael came into the kitchen this morning and said, where are my cluster Lucky Charms?
Aww.
And he looked right at me and I went, guilty! Guilty!
You should have said, I don't know.
Dad, it says...
A friend of mine, Schmeichel Schmera, said he likes to watch beach volleyball and eat Lucky Charms.
The least
that's the most American thing
snack.
You've ever said.
Yes. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Watch those wonderful and congratulations to the United States for beating Switzerland.
Done.
Oh,
yeah.
Although I wouldn't have mind seeing Switzerland go to the very end. Very nice.
Yeah.
So where the hell was I? Oh, my son
and the Lucky
and my
Charm
doctor.
Clusters.
So I was I was just sitting there and a little stressed out. At midnight, I receive a personal message. Spent a lot of time, by the way, on reviewing the past week on Facebook, including that NAD that attacked me when I was dumping on vaxxers. It's funny. Sometimes I'm on and then I'm gone and then I completely forget. But this guy was, he had some Manassas roots.
I checked
in him, right? He had some da, 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 da. But anyway.
Do you think he went to the train convention every summer?
No. Probably just swilled beer in my bar.
Okay.
So anywho, 12:01 a.m. from Steve Bridges. Why does it say former host at KCJJ? You're still a host. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't this a guy that gets up at like 3:30 in the morning to do a morning radio
show?
Yeah,
he does. Every morning.
And
I like your impression of him.
Because it's just so brief. I write, where? And then he doesn't answer because he's an old man.
Right.
And he says, you're on weekdays. Drive time. Heavily promoted. Loved. He is so. The reason this relationship, that is a funny man. That is a truly,
so naturally
truly
loved.
Funny man.
He is. Hey.
I said, oh, just saw it. Have to fix that, Cap. Captain Steve, yeah, right, of course, Captain. I call him. He writes back, I teared up.
Aww.
I said, and I need to get on your show. Go to bed.
Good man.
Then he writes, yes, sir. I never took commands from Kevin or Beam.
That is
That's
great.
Our wonderful owner, manager,
man, I love that
all
man.
About town man in Iowa City, Mr. Steve Bridges. We will have
so
to
great.
Go on that show
so
at
great.
Some particular point. He is a very, very funny man. So that's it. Dan O'Brien, when he comes back
is
in.
Is he
tell
here?
Him
he's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. He's here.
Well, we got a break anyway.
Okay.
We
got to
come back and break. We're going to get a mic on Dan O'Brien and maybe a picture. You know where I'd like Dan O'Brien?
Where?
Really?
Right
if you can
us?
Pull it off.
Yeah,
you know the picture? You know what I'm looking at? Right between you two.
Yeah.
That's what I would love to see.
You gotta get a seat and a microphone.
Yeah,
We'll take a break.
He's gonna panel, Mike.
We'll come back with more on the Mike O'Meara Show. I love this show.
You know, I didn't come here to preach to you today. You're not a man. You're a bishop. For God's sake,
there is no God.
I guess I'd have to say Jesus. Who better than Christ?
Praise be to He.
We're crucifying someone tonight.
Daddy, you just threw Jesus across the room.
If loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right.
I was in the sky with Jesus.
So special, brothers and sisters, it's the Reverend Twitch here preaching the truth. The Mike O'Meara Bonus Show is your salvation of laughs, an extra uncensored show that delivers heavenly hilarity each and every week. Get a bonus show subscription at MikeO'MearaShow.com and always remember,
how you can give your heart to Jesus, but your ass belongs to
Mike O'Meara.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. This portion of our program is brought to you by Cornerstone. When was the last time you refinanced? If it's been more than a year, we should talk about how much money you could be saving. We have told you for years how much we love the people at Cornerstone First Financial. The stalled economy and the Delta variant have pushed interest rates back to the lowest levels in a year. Add in double-digit appreciation and it's the perfect storm to take cash out or simply refinance to a lower rate or term. You need to call the only company that I recommend, my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial. Cornerstone First is a direct lender, which means they have their own money and they guarantee to meet or beat any competitor. At the end of the day, you go with the company you like, you trust, and the one that offers benefits, savings, and solutions. Cornerstone is that company. Send them a recent mortgage statement and instantly see how much money they can save you. Loan officers are working overtime to accommodate what is likely the last opportunity to take advantage of the lowest rates ever. Call your local, licensed, and ethical loan officer now at Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Do it now. The reason I'm chuckling
You're
is during my
so
little
happy.
Commercial,
yeah.
I'm watching all of this jumping around, and there is the shot I wanted. Now, they're not getting this on the online.
Oh, they're
my
getting
shot.
It.
Oh, they're getting it.
They're getting our three
shots.
I wish
three
they would,
shot.
But they got it. Right now, they're getting it.
Oh, this is great. Turn his microphone down, Rob. Thank you very much. And now, please welcome back to the show, great intern, great guy, political activist, now working at Podville Media with his eyebrows up around his forehead, Dan O'Brien. Dan, Sona, and I know Debbie's going to be thrilled.
Oh, your out mom, of her Debbie, mind. Are you kidding?
We'll be thrilled that you're on the show today.
Absolutely. I'm going to get a lot of texts telling me, hey, why don't you tell me in advance? She's going to be ecstatic.
Rob, can I ask you a question? Rob, can I ask you a question?
Please.
How come when you're running a board, it's either, I really have to say, and then.
Can you give me the here. Board?
I just yeah, well, what happened, Mike? What happened is this. I'll tell you exactly what happened. We did not know we were going to have Dan in here.
I'd love nothing to happen.
And so
I would love nothing to
when
happen.
He sat down, he was too loud to use, so I turned down his mic a little bit so I could fix his send. And then when I fixed his send, I hadn't have a chance to put it back
all right,
up.
Send, for those of you that don't know, the
that's
inside
what Mike
jargon.
Hears. That's what Mike
that's
hears.
What I hear.
Let me, let me ask you a question, Dan. What voice are you using right now? Because this is not the voice you usually use when we're walking around.
I'm using my broadcast voice. Oh. Trying to.
Ted Baxter.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Dan, when you left us as an intern, history for people that have never seen you and never heard you, when you were with the Mike O'Mara Show as an intern, after your internship was over, you went back to school, you graduated, and no, what's going on?
So I graduated college back in 2016, and I interned after I had graduated college. So I interned probably about end of 2016 to about midway through 2018.
Can you stop using that voice?
Yeah, it's kind of freaking me out.
What's the matter? I'm fine with him using
this voice. This is not his normal voice. When you see him out in the hall, he's like a different guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Dan, is he accurate? I don't know.
No, what you would hear if you were at Podville, what you would hear if you like put your milk glass to the door and listen to Dan and all, you'd hear, does anyone have an HDMI cable?
Yeah.
That's what you'd hear. Yeah. You know, it's not. Hello.
I think it'd be better
if I'm on the broadcast to be using.
You're fine, Dan. You're fine. I think they should stop picking
it's
on you.
Freaking
I think
me they out. Should.
Mike, I agree.
Yes. So let's get back to you.
Yeah, it's like watching him be badly dubbed.
Really, this cruelty will not stand. I will not allow my boy Dan O'Brien to be picked on like
this. And let Dan talk.
Right.
Let me interview Dan O'Brien. I want to catch up. This is you don't understand, you two, that you see these people every day. I never get a chance to see people, and so it's a thrill for me to have somebody come back in and visit. Now, after you graduated, you interned for us, and then the way I remember it is it was off to the world of
high finance.
Politics, where you worked on the failed congressional run for Vanjie, right?
Yes. Unfortunately failed, but yes.
It was a really wonderful, talented lady, and didn't she lose to some nasty,
nobody.
Horrible human being down there, right, in bum F? Right?
I'm not going to disagree with that characterization. That's very, very good way to describe him.
Okay, very good. Yes, Rob, what? You're smirking. What are you? What?
I'm not voice. Going to disagree with that characterization, sir. Wonder why she lost.
Stop it. What did
no,
you
I'm
do
kidding.
For.
I'm kidding.
What did you do for. What did you
I didn't
for
lose the entire
campaign?
Thing. I lost a few votes.
He's
yeah,
a
for
good
sure.
Good boy.
Oh, what do you mean you lost a few
no,
votes?
No, I'm kidding.
Mean?
I'm kidding. I did
okay.
Some awkward all interactions, right. maybe.
But that was a real. That was a real campaign.
Was,
tell
absolutely.
Me about what was that like being a what did you do for her first of all?
So we had campaigns in 2018 and 2020. In 2018, I was social media manager. I was in charge of social media: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram,
TikTok,
internet. And so I was engaged with people on social media, telling them about events we were going to, you know,
gotcha.
What our stance were, et cetera, et cetera.
Memes.
Exactly. Yeah. I majored in the memes, actually. That's why I got the job.
Guy. Major meme guy.
Yeah. That's Dan the meme great. Man.
I didn't know you did two. I didn't know that she gave it two shots. Is she done or is she going to come back and try it again?
As far as I know, she's done. I know I haven't been asked back probably for good reason. I'm kidding. But
no, but, yeah. I mean, but it was, I mean, after two failed runs, you pack it in. Probably,
it's a lot.
Right?
And Mike, she's got
Hey, Nixon kept at it and he became president.
You know, you're right, Rob. Never say die.
That's right.
I'll tell her to run for president. But she has six daughters, and she actually just recently became a...
She has six daughters?
And as of probably a week or two ago, just became a grandmother.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So wow. She's got
how,
a lot
how
on her
old
plate.
Is Vanjie?
She's like early 50s. She is a
good
young grandmother.
God, with a family
she
that big, how did she lose?
I thought she was
she seems so much younger to me when I interviewed her. Wow.
So cool.
Well, a very sweet lady and a very good person, right?
Oh, God, yeah. Look, all jokes aside about the campaign, She is an angel. She's one of the best people I've ever had the opportunity to work with, and I've got nothing bad to say about her whatsoever.
You know, that sucks. I feel bad because we had her on the show a few times, and I wish she had won. So what is the what did you take away? Two congressional campaigns. Two front of the line, involved in a campaign, there every day. What is something that you can share with us about politics, really working in the trenches of a political campaign? This is a legitimate question that that you took away from it. A reality check, anything people might not know, what it was all about. I'm curious about that because I've never done it myself.
Something I'd say is that what you're seeing is only about 10% of the actual product. The amount of work that goes on behind the scenes to make, whether it's a social media post, deciding a policy, whatever, all of that is extreme. It's run through diligently. It's not just matter of fact, unless you're, you know, any real person, any real candidate that has a legitimate shot at office, it's going to be rehearsed. It's going to be consulted with consultants. It's going to be taken seriously. So it's not as though you're just going to, on a whim, say, oh, I'm going to have this stance. It's looked over by person X, person Y, person Z, over and over and over again to make sure that it can't be misconstrued.
And not for anybody. I mean, not for everybody, I should say. Not for everybody to get into that battle. I mean, we always talk about in this country on national politics why people shy away from it because it's just take no prisoners. And did you have any, you know, brushes with the enemy? Was there any sabotage, any nastiness like that?
Seduction?
During either campaign?
Ooh.
Seduction. Shut up.
Any romance?
Jesus, God.
You know, I unloosened the button once or twice to help get some favors. No, what happened was we had some of our campaign signs.
Did you run that line by a consultant?
No.
Well, you set him up.
That's why I was fired.
You know what? You're like two cobras. You set him up and then you bite him.
I'm rooting for him.
And
so
I feel the love.
Yeah, okay. So what were you saying before you were so rudely interrupted?
Well, we had some of our campaign signs, some of the yard signs that physically go in somebody's yard.
Right.
They were actually like vandalized. Like literally people would cut them up with a knife so that people, you know, it was basically just tearing down the sign. So we had instances of that all throughout the congressional district. And those things are not cheap.
And did you ever get hassled yourself? I mean, I just think with the divided America we live in right now that it probably is not fun to be, you know, a zealot on either side, I would think, right?
Yeah. Look, no matter if you're a Democrat, Republican, no matter where you are, what your stances are, it's a really divided time in this country. And politics is not an easy game in general, but especially when more and more people are more and more hating towards the other side. There are definitely risks for violence. So, yeah.
And but you're glad you did it, right? You're glad you got involved with that.
It was a massive learning experience.
Now I'm going to kick it over to your two coworkers who you see every single day because I've answered. And you're happy? Everything's going well?
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't be happier.
How's your love life? Anybody new in your life or anything like that?
I couldn't be happier.
Boys, would you like to tip in? I mean,
it's tough to attract the fair sex when you have a club foot. And if you could tell America,
Debbie,
this is why and how you injured
it.
Your foot, what, about a month and a half ago now?
Yeah.
And be honest, tell them, like, you came in here, you were so excited to work, like, just to tell the world what happened.
So I was leaving one day at work, and, you know, it was the typical, you know, day after work. I was leaving from work.
But the first week you worked here.
Right.
So tell everybody how excited you were.
It was still shiny and new.
You're like, this is great. I'm back in the city.
So I got on my unicycle, and I got into 66. And
No. Tell them the truth.
So I was excited to work here, and I hadn't been in D.C. for a while. So I wanted to, you know, take a walk by the monuments and see everything since it was a nice day outside. And that turned out to be probably a 2.5 mile walk. And
Mr. O'Brien goes to Washington.
Exactly.
Yes.
And he in his mind, it was an MGM movie in the 30s where all the monuments are on one street in a row.
And everybody was looking at me.
What Dan said to me, and please correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
You said that, and this is when it happened. He said, what's going on? He goes, I was so excited to be here. And the new facility, Mike, you've been here, you know. He's like, I feel like I'm at Axe Capital from Billions. It's just a gorgeous facility, a beautiful studio. And we're in the middle of the city. And he was consumed by what is the power in Washington, D.C. So he decided to take a long walk to the monuments and the Capitol in dress shoes that were too small for him.
That's accurate. Yeah.
That's accurate.
And then what happened?
Probably within a few days, I woke up and I couldn't put pressure on part of my foot. which is fun. You know, it wasn't like immediately after I started feeling pain. It was waking up the following morning.
And little plantar fasciitis or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's a lot of geishas suffer from this too.
Yeah,
it's common.
Well, a lot of people, and I didn't want to out Debbie Carano O'Brien on this particular subject, but what people don't realize is when Dan was a baby, his feet were bound.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Yep. So that they would not get above a certain size.
Yeah. Well, she had plans.
Size
Mike.
Three. She and
had,
a half.
She had plans to make him a show baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in order to be a show baby, or he's sometimes referred to as Gerber baby, she bound the feet.
I remember watching one of his audition reels for being a show baby.
Right.
But he kept crying. He went, wah.
Yeah.
Wah.
Yeah. Whoa. So your feet are doing well now.
He's a show baby.
And you're back at work. Oscar, you're glad to have him, right? Glad to have him.
Yeah, Dan's his foot is injured once again. I don't know how this happened because I saw him walking into the building and I was like, who is that elderly? Oh, that's Dan O'Brien.
Hey, he's hobbling. It's me.
He's hobbling in. What happened to your foot yesterday? Because you were fine yesterday walking around.
I don't know. Literally, I walked out of the office yesterday, got to the metro. I had no problems with my foot whatsoever. Woke up today and it's just like, oh,
maladies.
Foot's in pain again.
Same foot?
Same foot. I've never.
What kind of shoes are you wearing?
I'm wearing sneakers. Just regular, comfortable sneakers.
What size?
Okay. Size 3.5.
No, seriously. What size do you wear?
Size 12.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big
feet.
That's a big foot because he's not a tremendously tall gentleman.
You know that's why I wasn't a show baby.
Yeah. Mm. Man, oh, man. Nobody can push you
size
over.
Size 12.
Yeah, watch out, world.
Hey, I tell
you
what.
I'll hobble one leg at a time.
This guy's got a great understanding, don't you know?
Hey,
well, it's great to see you. Great to have you back in. I'd love to have, whenever it's convenient for you, another Dan the Fan Man promo.
He has them written. We're going to record them today.
Absolutely.
How long have you had? Okay, now here we go. How long have you had them written?
Probably since Monday or Tuesday.
Mm. Okay. All right. So it's fresh.
Yeah.
It's fresh.
No, it's fresh. Absolutely.
All right. That's good. I can't wait. It's going to be. And anything
we were
going
to record them yesterday, but he couldn't make it into the studio.
Because he's.
I asked Rob to hold open the door, and he said, sorry. Only people with two legs can come in here.
And Oscar, everything going well with his with his work habits?
He's grown up a lot. We talked about this earlier, Mike, prior to Dan coming in. Dan used to like to tell us how his day was going. We were like, how's your day going? And that's just a common like office thing you would
sure.
do. Mm-hmm. And Dan really engaged. He would tell us everything we needed to not know about his day.
Yeah.
So I went to Dan. I said, Dan, when people say that, they're just being polite.
Yeah.
You got to keep it moving.
Fine.
Learning curve.
The word fine is
keep
a good word.
Fine. Great day. Moving on.
And your mom and family doing well?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go back to Jersey to see him in about 2 weeks that weekend. So
please give everybody in the Jersey contingent my best. And
Debbie,
don't be a stranger. Come by on the show sometime.
Anytime.
And really, good to see you. And I'm glad you're at Podville, my friend.
Glad to be here. I've got lots of promos to record.
That's good. Thank you. That's Dan O'Brien, there everybody. We're going to take a break. And they weren't too bad. They wanted to jump on him, but that's it. Look at Oscar. Oscar's like keeping so much to himself right now.
His head's going
to explode.
You're
being so polite.
No, because he's a sweet boy. I don't want to beat him up on the first
boy.
Day.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Has Oscar been mean to you at all outside
not
of the studio?
Not at all.
Not at all. We'll be right back, everybody.
Mom said it was okay.
To pee or not to pee. Oh, hey, how you doing? The name's John. I'm a talking head. You know, head as in a turlet on a boat. Yeah, it's kind of the key to the whole bit here. Well, a lot of people say I'm full of you know what I'm talking about. But today I'm flush with pride to be asked to share how you can be a TMOS talking head. It's your chance to appear on the Mike O'Mara Show and tell your life story. Which, for me, starts with a very hot date with a kiln. Anyway, all you gotta do is send an email to Rob with 2 B's at MikeOmeraShow.com and give him the bottom line about what makes you tick. And if it's overflowing with interesting stuff, you're in! So, before you pee-pee, write to R-O-B-B at MikeOmeraShow.com. Just don't clog up his inbox. I gotta go. Here comes another asshole.
We just had a promo done by a toilet. That was fun. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Imagine how much easier writing would be if you had a pro on call who could review drafts whenever you want. WordTune. Remember that word.
Yes.
WordTune can do that digitally. Don't waste time agonizing over the perfect sentence. With WordTune, you can hit deadlines on time every time. WordTune provides options based on your original words so you can take your writing to the next level. WordTune is the first AI-powered online writing tool that understands meaning, so you can be confident that what you're writing is as smart as you are. Writing impacts how people view you, and it can shape your future. WordTune uses the most advanced language processing technology available. Nothing else can compete with WordTune, a total game changer. WordTune is the ideal service for detail-focused writers, managers seeking to drive their point home, or anyone whose writing could use a little tune-up.
It's so great.
Words matter. Yes, Rob
Stewart. I have to say this. It's one of my favorite things. When I use it, all you do is you highlight the passage, and it gives you suggestions to make it better.
It's super cool.
But what's neat is there's two different modes. It can be formal, like for a business letter, mm-hmm. but there's also a more casual mode for if you like writing to a friend. So it actually can
AI part of
it. Yeah, it is so smart. It learns how you write. It's awesome.
I love WordTune. Rob loves it. If you want to succeed with your writing, let WordTune be your guiding hand. WordTune works anywhere you're working online. Google Docs, Slack, Outlook Web, WhatsApp, and more. And our listeners can try WordTune for free at WordTune.com/TMOS. If you're away from your computer, go to WordTune.com/TMOS on your mobile phone. Enter your email and they'll send you a link to make it easy to get started. Get help writing your emails, reports, presentations, resumes, blogs, and get it today. Go to WordTune.com/TMOS. You're going to love WordTune. Let's see what's lingering here down at the bottom. Look at that.
Oh, I'm David Brinkley, NBC News, Washington.
Oh, David, the late David Brinkley, Mike.
He of the Huntley Brinkley Report.
Yeah, Chet wasn't in that night, but I think Chet might find his way into the dumpster someday, too.
And, of course, This Week with David Brinkley for many, many years before This Week with George Stephanopoulos. He replaced David Brinkley, didn't he?
I believe so.
I think so. Stephanopoulos has been at it for a long
Brinkley
time.
Brinkley stuck around about a year too long. Remember the famous moment where he said he wasn't on the air, but he was on the air?
No, I'm not on the air.
More goddamn nonsense.
Well, we're not on the air. Yeah, David? David, you moron, we are on the air.
Okay.
Thank you.
But he's still married to Christy, isn't he?
Christy Brinkley.
That's right.
Yeah, and she's 67. So, I don't know how I knew that.
Speaking of awkward moments on news programs, great moment on CNN yesterday. As Chris Cuomo was wrapping his show and throwing it to Don Lemon, Don Lemon's first story was about Chris's brother. So it's just... Ooh.
Now, I haven't watched Chris Cuomo in a long time. Has he... avoided it totally or not? I don't know what the deal is.
I don't know how he's handled it. I just liked this moment because it's super friendly. Hey, how you doing, buddy? We're going to do the throw here. And
yeah,
then
they're
right
pals, or at least they pretend to be.
Right away into the story about Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo, right now. Cuomo!
I'm going to make my witness, as you say. And you
make
know
your
what?
Witness.
I love you, brother.
I love you, D. Lemon.
All right. This is Don Lemon tonight. The calls are getting louder and louder. Top Democrats from New York to the White House calling on Governor Andrew Cuomo to resign.
It's called a nice pivot.
You know, this speaks to the selfishness. Nice. This speaks to the selfishness of Andrew Cuomo and hurting people that are close to him. This pig-headed desire to stay when the investigator, you got everybody, all the Democratic governors, the president of the United States, everybody calling for this guy. And I think it also, when you see a situation like this with politicians, it is a window into the level of ambition that also hubris that these guys
good
have.
Word.
It's
good
just word. Yeah. Amazing that, you know, nobody can tell me anything.
They can turn a deaf ear to the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think he's gone. It's just a matter of time.
It would be more graceful for him to retreat and then come back.
Yeah, or, you know, go behind the scenes. He had a good career, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
He, it sucks. It's
and America loves a redemption story.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the longer you linger when something like this is going on, the less that redemption story can be a real factor.
Yeah, I never redeemed myself.
There's a guy who didn't really redeem himself.
No, but he still occasionally pops up on social media.
I made the same mistake 3 times.
TikTok.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go down to Port Tobacco and see all my racist friends. Yeah.
All right, so there's a guy on YouTube named Snubby J, and he built a pipe organ. which is nice, but it's a pipe organ made of PVC pipe. And I was looking at some of his, and I just had to pull this for Oscar. It's a brief snippet. It's his pipe organ made of PVC pipe playing the theme to Friends.
Ooh.
Why is it always the theme from Friends?
People love Friends. I don't know why. Oscar, why do people like Friends?
Internet. TikTok.
Why do they like
it? It's mass appeal. You're not going to make something that no one cares about.
TikTok, internet, there you go. Mike, fantastic.
You do.
Here's the Night Court theme.
You know, oh, Night Court's a good theme.
I take that.
Bump, bump. Mike, you do the Maine accent.
All in the family.
How does the New Hampshire accent compare to the Maine accent?
Boy, it's very difficult. It's not as severe. Maine's more rounded, you know, where it's like, hello, how are you? Yes, yeah. Well, yeah, you go up there into the mountains of New Hampshire, and we've got the,
so
it seems to be back of the throat there.
It's,
you know,
more Pepperidge Farm. New Hampshire's more Pepperidge Farm.
Well, that was a shitty, I'm sorry to make another edit. That was a terrible dialect, you know. Hey, Rob, hold on a second.
How do you really feel?
You were talking about this guy. You were talking about this guy, Lakey, the pipe organ guy with the PVC.
Yeah, Snubby J.
This is a guy that came onto my radar yesterday. This guy's name, I don't even know how to pronounce it. It's Lachy Doley. And this guy is an Australian keyboard player. He specializes in the Hammond B3.
Great organ.
And then he uses this this other organ that he uses with a sissy bar on it.
Yeah.
Where he's
like
trying to bend the notes.
Yeah. I'm gonna
take E-phone. This guy's called it's either Lachy or Lachy Doley. And this guy is the bomb. I'm gonna skip ahead to one of his solos here where he is really just amazing. He's Australian, and he's open for Joe Bonamasso, and this guy is so play. And that's good, Mike. When you're prepared, do the drum solo, you stupid dick.
Oscar, the Hammond B3 is a legendary instrument in rock and roll. You'll recognize the sound immediately. Big cabinet, like a furniture.
Hammond B3.
That's great.
Hope somebody helped me with the pronunciation. It's the Hammond B3 organ, baby.
I'm in love with the sound.
You never know when you're going to discover somebody. Never heard it played this way, ever. Never heard it played this well, ever, by anybody. It's got a horn section in back.
I was going to say, he plays the organ like a horn section.
This guy is an Australian artist, 43 years old.
He's young.
Man, man, I got to see this guy. I got to see this. By the way, this is off the album that I bought yesterday. I pre-ordered.
Wow.
That's how impressed I was.
That's very cool.
It's fresh. Lachy Doley. Lachy Doley?
Lachy,
or
Lachy
Doley? Or Lachy Doley?
I don't know.
I think it's Lachy.
I love the sound.
It's an Australian name, so I'm not sure. And boy, oh boy, I was just blown away. Sorry. I didn't mean to digress like that.
I love the digression. Let's go back to New Hampshire just for a second. We can close with this. I like this guy. His name is River Dave. He has no home.
River.
And he had a cabin. He was, as they said in the Monty Python sketch, we're squatters, baby. So he was a squatter who built a cabin on land that he didn't own, and the cabin burned down, and he's very upset. And he was, of course, taken to court because he's a squatter. And this is him yelling at the judge. Ladies and gentlemen, my nominee for Mike O'Mara Show Person of the Day is River Dave.
It's lying, cheating, corrupt judges like you that are stepping on little people like me. But I'm gunning you, sir. You step on me, I'm going to bite your ankle.
He's going to bite his ankle.
Well, you know, that's right, George Bailey. Why? You don't. You're worth more dead than alive, George Bailey.
River
there
Dave.
You are. All right. Thank
maybe
you.
Soon he'll be in the dumpster. That's your digital dumpster. Have a good Thursday.
And that's
a
Lachy Doley. So
Lachy
remember
Doley,
about
that.
Okay. So let me close it.
Yeah,
there it is. Thank you very
Goodbye,
much.
Bye, David Brinkley.
Yeah, that was a good show. And we want to thank, Mike Pollack. I did too many things at the end of the show. I got all confused. Also, Dan O'Brien for coming by.
Hop along.
Mike Pollack, Dr. Eggman, Sonic the Hedgehog. Check him out. And thanks for all those wonderful promos you've done.
Wonderful guy.
We'll be back with a bonus show tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
But why did they use them to make Brando?
Because Brando's got extra legs.
I mean, she's not smart at all. I told her our kid is spoiled. She told me a lot of kids smell that way.
This is stupid. You're like a crazy person. Why do you do this to your father and I? Ow! We got a book.